Let's begin by turning to Psalm 118. We are going to be in Acts tonight, but something very pleasant was blessing my heart, and pray the Lord will bless it to all of us right now. I had something told to me a few years ago. It was a word of encouragement. And I pray I never lose sight of it. I was just sitting here thinking about this ministry just a minute ago. Hannah was playing, and here we all sit, few in number. The Lord has brought us all here. I was just thinking, the Lord brought me here. And then I looked over and I thought, the Lord brought him here, and the Lord brought them here, and then the Lord brought them here, and the Lord's brought all of us here. Here we are. We're the local assembly. We love each other. So glad to be here. And we're small in number, and that's great. It's great. It's the perfect number. It's always going to be the perfect number. But I don't want to ever lose sight of the fact. As long as the Lord would have me to be here, I don't want to ever lose sight of this fact. A dear pastor was telling me about some of the things that happened in the gospel 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And told me about the churches that were raised up and the different believers that were converted and how the Lord used them to establish those churches. Just wonderful things that the Lord did. And my response to it was, I wish I could have been around back then. And he looked me right in the eye and said, God is not out of business. God is not out of business. I wrote that dear pastor a letter yesterday telling him how much I was rejoicing over the confession that God wrought last Sunday night. God did it. I was rejoicing over what God did. God did something. Here we are, and God did something. And as I was writing that letter, I thought, you know, it has been proven to us. It has been proven to us. God is not out of business. He is not out of business. He is still showing mercy to sinners like me. Still. He is still establishing his church. Still. Just like he always has. There's no telling in the near future what he's going to do with the sinners he's laying hold of right now. No telling. Verse 1 right here in Psalm 118 says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. It endures forever. It endures forever. He is so good because, here's the reason he's good to us. It's because his mercy endures forever. I mean, forever. Forever. Verse 2 says, let the sinner say it, Israel. Verse 3 says, let the preacher say it, house of Aaron. Verse 4 says, let every soul that fears the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. You know what motivates me to keep preaching this gospel? It's the absolute belief that God is not out of business. That's what it is. It's the absolute belief that he is going to still show mercy to sinners. He's going to. He is good because his mercy endureth forever. That's what our text is telling us tonight. The text I just read a minute ago. That's what it's telling us. He's good because his mercy endures forever. Now go with me over to Acts chapter 20. In this account, we have a young man named Eutychus. And the middle of verse 9 says, being fallen. That's what he was, being fallen. And that's every one of us in this world, isn't it? Fallen. We live in a fallen world. It's just a fallen place. Everything about it is fallen. Fallen into the sleep of death. This flesh sleeps the sleep of death. That's what it does. It just sleeps the sleep of death. And this young man, he represents all of us. It says in verse 9, being fallen, it goes on down to say he fell. Being fallen, he fell. That's what it says. But God had mercy on him. And the reason God had mercy on him is because he's good. And his mercy endureth forever. Now let's just read these verses up to this man. Verse 1 says, and after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. I can imagine what he was feeling at that moment in time. I can imagine what he was feeling at that moment in time. After the uproar, we looked at it last Wednesday night, this man Demetrius, he was a silversmith. He was worried about his money. And so he got all the men who were in the same trade as him. And he started an uproar. And he laid hold of a man named Gaius, a man named Aristarchus, a man named Alexander. These were companions in travel with Paul, companions in the ministry. And they thrust these men into a theater. And Paul would have gone in. But the disciples said, nah, don't worry about it. We got it. You go study. We'll take care of the troublemakers. So Paul didn't go in. Verse 1 says, and after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them. Thank you, my brothers. Thank you. Thank you for your help and your labor in the cause and the defense of the ministry. I can imagine what he was feeling. I really can. Verse 2 says, and when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation. Preaching the gospel does involve reproof, which means proving, convincing. And it involves much rebuke, but it involves much exhortation. Much, much. That means to call near, to comfort, to console. It needs much exhortation. God's people truly are persecuted. Wait and see. Wait and see. Every child of God will be persecuted for his truth's sake. Every one of them. And they're cast down. They're fallen. And the only thing that'll pick us up is hearing what Jesus Christ has done for us. It's the only thing that picks us back up. But here's why. It causes us to realize none of that matters. That's all that does. We get so torn up about frivolous things, things that don't matter, people, places, things. And then we come into here, and through the preaching of God's gospel, he causes us to realize none of that stuff matters. I'm safe. I'm safe. All eternity, and that's all that matters. We come in here to hear about his mercy that endureth forever. That's all I needed to hear. That's it. The help that we have in him. Well, Paul had given them much exhortation, and he came into Greece, it says, in verse 3, there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, they wanted to kill him, but they couldn't. When the Jews laid wait for him, As he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia, and there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe and Timotheus, and of Asia Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. Now those were men that were loved, dearly loved, faithful men God had called to the ministry of the gospel. And when we see names that we don't know, it's hard to enter into them. Tychicus, we don't know much about him. And sometimes we look up their meanings, and sometimes I just like to put names in there I do know. Traveling with him was Tom of Pikeville. Of the Tennesseans, it was Chris and Donnie. Of Mexico, it was Walter and Cody. Loved those men. Traveled in the cause of the ministry. Verse 5, these going before tarried for us at Troas, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. They were gathered on the first day of the week. When our Lord arose on the first day of the week, all the disciples used to stay home on Saturday, their Sabbath. You know, that was their day. But when our Lord arose on the first day of the week, all the disciples came together to worship him and to break bread. And amongst the disciples, and it's recorded in the Word, they called it the Lord's Day, the day he arose. And that's what we're still doing to this day. We meet together on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, the day that he arose. And Paul, they were gathered together. He knew he was leaving. It says that ready to depart on the morrow. And he didn't know if he was going to see him again, when or if he was ever going to see him again. And he preached everything that God put in his heart. Every single thing God put in his heart. I have a lot of things in my heart for you. And I don't tell them every time we meet because we can't retain it. We just cannot retain it. We get to them as we get to that verse of Scripture. There are things that I'm already thinking about for 2 Corinthians, and that's going to be 3 years from now. But Paul thought, this is probably the last time I'm going to see him. And Paul told them everything God put in his heart. You imagine the blessing of God's Holy Spirit. This was the last time he was going to get to preach the gospel to these people. And you think about how God blessed him. And God, this was a God Spirit-filled message. He was not just being long-winded. He didn't want to just hear himself talk. God gave him something to say. And he ended up preaching until midnight. Verse 8 says, and there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. Now, I believe that verse says two things. Hold your place right here and look at James chapter 1 with me. James chapter 1, look at verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's called the Father of lights. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. God in us, Christ in us, is the hope of glory, isn't he? Christ in us. When Christ takes up residency in a sinner, that sinner becomes a light. God said, the Lord Jesus Christ said, you are the light of the world, didn't he? Why did he say that? Because Christ is in you. We don't produce our own light. We're just reflecting his light. The moon, the stars, they don't produce their own light. They're just reflecting the light of the sun. But he's the Father of lights, Christ in us. I was driving down the road one time and passed a believer on the road. We waved at each other, and it just hit me. I live in a dark world full of dark people, and there went a light. That was a light. Went right down the road past me. Father of lights. So back in our text, the first thing that we see in this verse is there were many believers gathered together reflecting the light of Christ, feeding on the light. But in spite of all that light, right in the middle of all that light, sits a man in absolute darkness. Here's a group of believers, little lights. The house was full of lights. Little lights. But bless his heart, here sits a man in his own darkness. Is that not horrible? Terrible. Verse 8 says, there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep, the sleep of death. When God told Adam in the garden, in the day that you eat of that fruit, you're going to surely die. There's a marginal reference right there. It says, dying thou shalt die. Dying thou shalt die. There sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. That does not mean he was considered to be dead. That means he was dead. The man died. He fell from the third loft and he died. And that's every one of us by nature, isn't it? That's every soul that has come from Adam since. Dead. Absolutely dead. He fell from the third loft. Didn't Paul say that he was carried up into the third heaven? I was carried up into the third heaven. We have a firmament. Birds fly in it. Airplanes fly in it. The heaven. And then there's an outer space. That's the heavens. But somewhere beyond that, somewhere is a place where God dwells. The third heaven. Man fell from God. That's what happened. He fell from the presence of God Almighty. Father, Son, Spirit. Man fell from all three. And was taken up dead. And there's still so much death around us. So much death on us, in us. So much death. But here's the thing, the Lord is good. And the reason is because his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. Look at verse 10, it says, and Paul went down. That's Christ. That's Christ. This young man was not interested in what Paul had to say. He didn't listen to what Paul had to say. He went to sleep. The only thing he deserved was to be left in the state he was in. Just a sinner who fell. But Paul went down. He left the third loft. Christ left glory itself. He left glory itself. Came all the way down to the ground, all the way down to the earth. This dead sinner was laying there. He had no ability to come back up to the third loft. He was dead. Absolutely dead. So Christ came down. He came all the way down, didn't he? To where he was. Verse 10 says, and Paul went down and fell on him. Paul fell on him. He didn't come down and ask him, are you alive? Which is what we would all do. Are you okay? Are you okay? Help. Someone call 911. First thing you do. Are you alive? Can you hear me at all? Is there any life in you at all? If there is, move your finger. Show me some life and I'll help you. If you're worthy of it, if there's any life in there at all, I'll help you. He was dead. Paul went down and fell on him. That word fell means seized. He seized him. And that's what Christ did for every fallen child of God. Jesus Christ reached way down for me. I was lost. I was undone. I was without God's precious Son. But he reached down his hand for me. Verse 10 says, and Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him. He embraced him. That means he hugged him. He went down and he fell on him and he hugged him. And Christ fell on his bride and hugged her. Christ embraced all of her sins. He embraced it all. He took it all. He willingly, lovingly embraced us. Isaiah 40 says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. Verse 10, and Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. Let me ask you this question. What is our life? It's Christ. Don't be afraid. Christ is in him. The root of the matter is in him. He's alive. He may look dead. He may act dead. But he's alive. Christ liveth in me. That's my salvation. Oh, what a salvation this. Christ liveth in me. Christ has seized me. That's all my hope, all my desire. Christ has seized me. Verse 11 says, when he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed, and they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. They were a lot comforted. Every time God raises a sinner from the dead, every single time God raises a sinner from the dead, so much comfort, so much encouragement comes to all of God's people. Every single one. Those who are also alive, when God causes one more sinner to become living, alive, they give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. We rejoice, just like those angels in glory, we rejoice over one sinner that God causes to repent, don't we? He's good and his mercy endures forever. Now, let's end this message tonight with an exhortation. Here's an exhortation from these verses right here. We just said a minute ago that there were two things we could see in verse 8. The first one is, there were many believers gathered there, many lights. The second thing is this. This young man fell asleep, but he had no good excuse for it. He had no good excuse for it. It was not a dark, inviting atmosphere for sleep. It was bright as day in that place. It says in verse 8, there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. It was all bright. This guy wasn't sitting over here in the dark and he had no excuse. It was bright. Daylight, almost. Midnight, but light. And God's apostle is standing there delivering this good news of Christ. Can you imagine what those people heard for 4 or 5 hours? I thought about our Lord in the garden. He went and prayed, Peter, James, and John. He said, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? If he prayed out loud, can you imagine what they would have heard God say to his Father during that 1 hour? Can you imagine the blessing? You think the Spirit was there? But this young man went to sleep. And the fact that he went to sleep, that's what caused him to fall. The fact that he went to sleep. If God truly quickens us from death to life, if we belong to Jesus Christ, we cannot fall into death again. As some people say, lose your salvation. You cannot. You cannot. But there is a spiritual slumber that we must guard against. We must guard against it. There's a spiritual slumber that we must guard against. Okay, now I'm going to illustrate this to you. I'm going to tell you something that happened. And while I'm telling it to you, let's think about the spiritual application. I'm telling you this because of a spiritual application, all right? I have almost fallen asleep at the wheel once. All right, we were just talking about this. I was 18, 19, 20 years old. I was coming back from Nashville, headed back to Franklin where I lived. I-65, it's a pretty straight interstate. It was way too late or way too early in the morning, one of the two. I was out too long. And I was driving back, and there was one other car I could see on the road, and I could see his red taillights a good ways up, but I could see two taillights. And I started nodding off. And at first, I did not know I was nodding off. All right, now think about the spiritual application there. But have you ever nodded off at the wheel? It takes a minute before you realize, I'm nodding off. You nod off three or four times before you know, wait a minute. So I'm nodding off, and I can see his red taillights, and I'm nodding off. I'm trying as hard as I can to keep my eyes open. And I know the exit he gets off on. The exit turns all the way back around. It makes a U. He does not make a U. His car goes off the exit, and he starts bouncing. He went off the road. It scared me so badly. It was before cell phones. I went to a payphone. I called 911. I have never forgotten that. To this day, when I'm driving down the road, especially at night, if I at all remotely start to feel tired, I think about that situation. I think about what happened to that guy. It causes me to realize that at this exact moment in time, for this brief moment, I was not but 10 miles from home. At this moment in time, I'm in a life and death situation. Soon I will be in a place where I can let my guard down. But right now, my life is on the line. The life of my wife is on the line. And the life of my children are on the line. Wake up. Wake up. Have you ever done this? You know what I'm talking about? You know, don't, you know, you get your head back on the headrest like that. Think. Focus. Be alert. Be on guard. Be on the defense. See what's in front of you. Know what's going on around you. I need to keep my eyes focused right there. Right now, I need to stay focused right there. May our God cause us to set ourselves. Set ourselves. May He give us the resolve and the ability by Your grace, by Your help, by Your doing, Lord. I don't want to go to sleep. I don't want to go to sleep. I'm not just talking about closing my eyes. My eyes could be wide awake. I don't want to sleep. That spiritual sleep. I could literally be wide awake. I'm not talking about sleep. I'm talking about something right here. I don't want to sleep that spiritual sleep. Lord, don't let me fall. Don't let me fall. That slumber brings a fall. Don't let me go so far, it said, sunk down with sleep, that I have to fall before I can be brought back. This man slumbered, fell, and he was brought back. And we will always be. The reason is because he's good and his mercy endureth forever. He's good. But anyway, we're going to close with this. Turn with me to Ephesians 6 and we're going to close. Ephesians 6 verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Well, see, here's why I'm tired. It's because I've been working so much. That's not it. Sit at home on the couch and watch episode after episode and see if it's the same sleepiness. 2 hours in the movie theater of a warm, dark place. No. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Our Lord said, don't turn, just listen to this. Our Lord said over in Mark 4, verse 14, "The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. So right here in Ephesians 6, he says, verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." What is that? It's Christ. "That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." What is truth? Christ. He said, "I'm the truth." "Having on the breastplate of righteousness." What's righteousness? Christ. He's our righteousness. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." What's the gospel of peace? What's the good news of peace? Christ. Lord, prepare us. Make us ready to hear the gospel of peace. "Above all, taking the shield of faith." Where does all our faith come from? Christ. "Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation." Christ. "And the sword of the Spirit." Christ. "Which is the Word of God." Who is the Word of God? Christ. He said, put all of that on. How do we do that? Verse 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me," pray for me, "that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Pray for me. Pray for you. I'll pray for me. I'll pray for you. We'll all pray to God that He would send us the Spirit of Christ and quicken us. Keep us. And I tell you this, if He'll do that, if He will do that, we all will not be a little comforted. We'll be a lot comforted. This will be a very comforted place in Christ, in His Word, in His Spirit. Okay, you're dismissed.